But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
Hey everyone, welcome back. All right, we are continuing our series on finding your purpose and destiny. I know it feels like it's been going on forever, but each and every piece that we're gonna go through here and every single one of these classes are all tied together, and you will see, and it just truly gets richer and deeper as we go along. Today I'm going to talk about crowns, but I'm realizing that I should have done the scepters before the crowns. I should have left the crowns for last, but anyway, I have it prepared and ready to go. And so that's what we're going to do today. Well, let me pray and then I will dive right in. Lord God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for keeping us and bringing us here to this moment, so that we can hear what you have to say about crowns. And I just thank you for anointing this teaching. I thank you for anointing our ears, that we will hear what you want us to hear in this, Lord, and that we will be able to activate and step into all that you will share by your Spirit. Surround us with your angels, Lord, and minister to each one where they are today. And allow each of us to see areas where we need to work on things and how we can do better for you, Lord, for your glory and your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let me first of all say that I've said it many times before that I came from a very conservative church background. So my idea of crowns was always going back to the book of Revelation, that your crowns are something that you receive when you go to heaven as a reward. And that is based on Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. It says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sit on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So this is actually the verse that always comes to mind. And it's the picture of the elders casting their crowns. And the idea is that, yes, while we receive rewards from God, it is only by him and through him that we were able to get where we are anyway. So they're basically saying, I don't deserve this honor and glory. I'm going to cast my crowns, my reward before you. So this is actually scripture that always comes to mind when I think of crowns. And I always thought that they were awarded in heaven. So, as with many things that I've learned along the way, it is when I started to really see into the realm of the spirit. I remember once I went to a conference and I saw the angels coming into the room, and they were actually carrying crowns and giving out crowns to the people in the audience. It has nothing to do with the conference or the time of or type of conference. It was more their, it was their time to receive that reward. And that was the first time I was like, okay, well, that's odd, because we're here. How are they getting crowns now? And that was the first time I realized this is a thing. Like, you can actually earn crowns in while you're on earth, before you get to heaven. So that's what caused me to then start to like research the crown. Because the other thing that was interesting is that the crowns that were coming into the room, they didn't look the same. And I was like, wow, this is interesting, right? So, you know, there were about three of them that looked like normal, regular gold crowns, and then others had stones on them. And there were two of them that were just very different. First one, it was made out of fire. The crown itself was just flames, but I could see that it was in the shape of a crown. And I thought, wow, that's cool. The other one, I'm not even going to describe to you because I've yet to process, even after all these years, what that was, because it was just different. And I think I need to wait for the Lord to like explain to me what it is, why it looked like that. So at that moment, I realized there are different crowns. They do not actually look the same in the spirit, and they're obviously rewarded for different things. So then I started to research like what they were so that I could understand why they look different. I still don't understand that one because it was just very different. Anyway, so what I want to do now is I want to go through there. I found two sets of crowns. Okay, so there is one group of crowns in the New Testament, and I found some other ones in the Old Testament. I'm going to go through the New Testament ones with you today because they're more clearly outlined. And it seriously would just be too much to do both of them in one class. One thing I do want to say is that you can lose your crowns. Yes. So I don't think you can lose all of them. Some of them... you can't lose that, and as we go through them, you'll see that. But there are some crowns that you can actually lose. So that scripture reference would be in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. It says, I'm reading NLT version, "Because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown." So there you go. So we understand from this that it can be taken. And how is it taken? It's taken during times of testing and trials. Okay, so we go through things in life. You can have a crown. Or even before you're given the crown, you are put through testing and trial, and you're gonna have to persevere through the persecution and everything in order to receive the crown. But then I also believe, because testing and trials come at different level and seasons in our life, so I believe as you go through each one, understand that your crown is at stake. The enemy is always gonna send something to test you. And I think the key is to, now that you're coming into the understanding of crowns, if you didn't know this before, is to recognize when this is a test, this is a trial I'm going through, and I need to just stand firm because I'm not about to give up my crown over this thing. Okay, it's understanding that you have a goal, you're heading somewhere here. It's not just about the moment that you're in, but there is a future. If you think of the story of Job, the whole book of Job shows someone going through testings and trial, and he got to the end of that. Therefore, he would have been awarded a crown if he didn't have one before, or the one that he has would not be taken away from him. So there is a good example right there of that. So let's go ahead and go through the crowns. Now I'm going to read these scriptures in the New King James Version, because that's the version that clearly says the name of each crown. So I want you to consider three things as I'm reading this. First, how do you get it? Second, when do you get it? Because remember, some of the crowns are awarded here on earth, and some are rewarded in heaven. So when do you get it? And can it be taken away from you? These are the three questions. All right, so as we're going through this, I want you to keep that in mind. So first one is gonna be 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 25. It says, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So this crown is called the imperishable crown. All right, now it's using it in terms of athletics, right? You're running in a race. Now, when you look at the Olympics today, they award medals. Back in the day, they actually were given crowns, a garland around the head, a crown as the winner. You are crowned the winner. Today, if you enter a beauty pageant, you are crowned the winner. This is the same thing. And so the scripture is saying that crown is an imperishable, is a perishable crown, but what you're getting when you run your race is an imperishable crown. So I'm going to read the same thing again in the NLT version, and I'm going to expand it to read verse 24 to 27. And so we're looking at who gets it and when do you get it, how you get it, when you get it, and can you lose it. Don't you realize, this is verse 24, that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that I am preaching to others. I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So, this crown is awarded to those who run towards eternity, serving Jesus Christ while watching their relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? Because he says at the end, I could be serving you as a servant of God. This is on this level. At the detriment of my relationship on this level. Okay? He's saying, verse 27, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. This says that you can lose this crown because it's not about filling stadiums or being popular or having the most followers. There can be somebody that's doing all of that and have all the outward appearances of being a great Christian, but at the same time, the relationship with Jesus Christ is actually not there. It's fractured, right? So this is for the person that keeps that love relationship with Christ intact to the very end. You get the crown when you win this race, which is only going to be rewarded to you at the end of the day when Christ comes back and he says, yes, good and faithful servant, not only well done, you did the work that I gave you to do with others, but well done, you've been able to continue to maintain this relationship with me. Okay, so that one, that's how you get it. You have to watch your relationship with Christ, because then that's how you will lose it. If you lose sight of this, the intimacy, okay? You know, the scripture, it says that they said to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these signs and wonders and miracles in your name? I'm paraphrasing here. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. That's a warning. You can do all of this stuff here, church stuff, churchy things, but this relationship was never intact. So that's how you get that crown. That means all of us can get this crown if we just focus on our relationship with Jesus Christ and make sure that it stands to the end. Okay, next one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" So this crown is called the crown of rejoicing. So I'm going to read it in context now. In the NLT version, verse 17 through 20, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy." So, the crown of rejoicing, the word says that when a sinner comes to know Christ, the angels rejoice. There is rejoicing in heaven. So the crown of rejoicing is given to the people who win the souls for Christ. If you have ever led even one person to Jesus Christ, you are in possession of the crown of rejoicing. Isn't that amazing? Wow! That means any one of us can qualify for it. Lead a person to the Lord and you get the crown of rejoicing. Can that be taken away from you? No. Because once they're saved, they're saved. They're saved. You got the crown. You got the crown. And I'm thinking, if you think about it, it has to build now, doesn't it? You think it's just one crown for one soul that then goes through all the way? Or is it each time someone comes to Christ? I'm wondering if that's why when I saw some of those crowns, they had stones on them, right? Yeah. That, I think this is so awesome, right? The crown of rejoicing. Okay, next one. This is 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Okay, so this one is called the crown of righteousness. All right, I'm now going to read verse 1 through 8. "I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, whom will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ear want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering for God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing." It says, "I have fought the good fight." This is verse 7. This is what you do. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Remain faithful. That's how you get it. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Remain faithful. Hence, you can't get this crown until you go to heaven, because you got to do all this to the end, right?
That's it.
Until Christ returns, right? That's it. That's when you get it. So it's for those who are looking forward to the coming of Christ. Looking forward to the coming of Christ. This is the crown of righteousness. The next one is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. I'm going to read now in NLT version from verse 1 through 4. It says, and now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. So the crown of glory is actually given to the leaders, the pastors, the preachers, the priests, the deacons. But quite frankly, I would say it would probably go down to the base level of anyone that's mentoring anyone else. Anyone that has the ability to influence another person. Okay, so this is your social influencers. The people have ministries on YouTube. They would fall into this category too. The crown of glory. How do you get it? Verse 2. Care for the flock that God has entrusted unto you. This could be for parents too, right? Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. We don't complain about the work of the kingdom. Not for what you can get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. We do what we do to serve God. We don't do what we do for donations or accolades or pats on the back. You do it to serve God, right? That's why you do it. And you don't lord it over the people assigned under your care, but you lead them by your good example. Come on. That's the crown of glory. That is amazing. Because I, like I said, I really don't think it's just pastors and priests, because not all of us fall into that category, but I really do believe it's anyone that is training up, encouraging, or mentoring others under them. So you can read that and just get the picture of what God is looking for you to do. And it starts in your home. Actually, the scripture on deacons says that you should be able to steward and manage your own household first before you can even become a deacon. So it does start in your own home, right? I think that's probably the first place where you would even earn that crown of glory. And in that case, then you're going to get it prior to Christ coming, right? Because if you're just caring for the flock and watching over them willingly and doing it to serve God, not for what you're getting out of it, and you're not lording it over them, that crown you can earn here. All right, next one. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. It says, Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested. You will have tribulations 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So this one is called the crown of life. Reading it in the NLT, starting with verse 9 to 10. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they're not, because the synagogue belongs to Satan. Okay, I'm going to go over that again. They say they are Jews, but they're not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. I believe this was the crown, one of the crowns that Job also got, right? Because this is a crown that's coming from persecution, testing, and trials, okay? It says, actually, this is even the crown given to the martyrs as well, right? It says, be faithful until death. But that doesn't mean that you have to suffer death, because in here he also says you're going to go through tribulations for 10 days. And that says that there is a start date and an end date to your trials and your tribulation. It has to end at some point. So he's saying you need to hold on until the end. And if you get through that period of time until the end, you will receive the crown of life. Okay, but some of us are going to be called to face death. That's what it is. This is the martyr's crown, also given for trials and tribulation and testing. So I find the whole thing very fascinating. And this is what it tells me overall, that some people can have five crowns. Some are going to get four. Some are going to get three. Some are going to get two. Some will get one. And some will get But the point is for you to know that regardless of what's coming at you in life, you have to keep focused on where you're going and that God has something for you. Some of your blessings are going to happen here. David says, I would have given up if I didn't believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Some of your rewards, you're getting them here. And some of your rewards, you get them when Christ comes back. Either way, you're going to get it. And I think the key is to remain focused. When you're going through whatever it is that you're going through, is to always remember it's not the end, that you're just being tested, and it's a trial. And that you can keep your crown. You can keep your crown. And I praise God for that. I hope you got something out of this, and it just helps you to see it even more of how you get them. I'm going to create a sheet for you on the website as a part of the study guide, where I'll put it up in a block where you can look at it, all of these together, these five crowns, okay? Following that same principle of asking yourself the three questions. And then next week when I come back, I'm going to go over a couple of things that I saw that was really interesting in the Old Testament. It's not like this where it says the crown of righteousness or that. No, this was what I got when I started to study out root words and things like that. And I'll share that with you next week. Anyway, I pray that this just really spoke to your heart and helped you to understand. You have this to look forward to. And I'm sure some of you have this already. Maybe, you know, I say it all the time, you might have things you don't even know you have. And I pray that God use this teaching to open your eyes. You have crowns already. And some of them can never be taken from you. Congratulations. All right, let me pray us out of here. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I praise you, I glorify you, I magnify you, and I just thank you for just everything that you've done for us, Lord God. And of course, we're casting crowns because we can't do any of this without you. You receive all glory and honor and praise for everything that we do or that we even make it through. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being there, for protecting, for guiding, for watching over us, for leading us, for convicting us when we need to be convicted. And thank you for repentance, that when we make mistakes, all we have to do is repent and make it right with you, Lord, and you give us another chance to continue going to the end, to the end. Thank you for the crowns and rewards that we receive here in heaven, but we look forward to the even greater crowns that come when we get to see you face to face on that day. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Remember, in the description box are links to study guide and other resources on our website. Sign up for the school. If you just found this online somewhere, it's free, a free discipleship school. All right? Bye.